Fun stuff. Amen. Everybody praise the Lord. The joy to be with you here in your city, in your nation, Australia. There is an example of an evangelist in the New Testament, and that is the model we have in our crusades. The name Philip. He came to Samaria and he spoke about Jesus. And speaking about Jesus, he demonstrated the life, the ministry, the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we take after that model because of the commission, the commandment of the Lord Jesus, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Then he said, as we go, these signs shall follow them that believe. We're in obedience to the Lord Jesus tonight, and the signs and the wonders will follow. You will have your share. Your neighbor, your friend, everyone will have their share. Christ is here already. And we thank God for the worship. Thank God for what God has started doing already. It will confirm everything he wants to do in your heart, in your life, your family, your ministry, in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you and bless your name. We welcome you here. We know you are here already. Lord Jesus, we welcome you. Holy Ghost, we welcome you. Take over this situation. Take over this service. Take over the preaching of the word and the ministration of your power. And I pray everyone will be blessed without exception. Confirm your power, your ministry, your word, your wonders in every life. We thank you because we know it's done. We'll see it with our own eyes. In Jesus' name, we pray. And everybody shout, amen. God bless you. You can sit down. As we look at our lives, as we look at our calling, as we look at the message of Scripture, there are three things that are very important. Number one is faith. Number two is hope. Number three is love. Faith, hope, love. Faith in God. Faith in His Word. Hope in the Lord, hope in our God, and then the love of God that flows into every heart. The love of God that flows from our heart and flows to other people. I'm talking tonight on living hope, lively hope, by faith in His love. We brought all the three together. There is the lively hope, not dead hope, not deceptive hope, but the hope that we're expecting something. And that lively hope works by faith. It says, living hope, lively hope by faith. Faith in His love. There is a love above human love. There is a love above earthly love. And it is the love of God Himself. I'm sure you might have heard, for God so loved the world. If he had said God loved the world, that would have been enough for us. But he said not just that he loved the world, for God so loved the world. He loved the world that he gave. He gave his only begotten son, that whosoever in the whole wide world, whosoever in every generation of the world, whosoever in any nation of the world, whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. You can have that everlasting life here tonight because of his love. Because you have faith in his love, and the faith that brings you the living hope, the lively hope, that what he has said, he will do. There is a verse you'll find in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13. It says, now abideth faith, hope, charity. That word charity there means love. These three, but the greatest of these is charity, is love. It says now in the life in which you live, now on earth, while we're here, now on earth abideth faith, hope, and love. If you are going to move in the world, you have to have some kind of faith. Now on earth abideth faith. I get into a taxi, I didn't know the taxi driver before. I've not checked up his license. I've not checked up his experience. I've not checked up how bright and how sharp his eyesight is. And I get in there and I relax. Why? Because I have faith that he will take me to where I'm going. If I can have faith in a driver I never met before and I've never checked, I've not checked his license. Now, Jesus Christ that is telling me come in and is going to drive me to heaven. And I believe him. If I can believe that man I never met, the one who came from heaven, who gave his life and gave that life for me, of course I believe. And as you believe tonight, eternal life will be yours in Jesus' name. But it says now, abideth faith and hope. You know, everything we have, we're looking forward. Now tomorrow has not come. I'm looking forward and I hope. I'm expecting that tomorrow this is what will come. Without hope, we'll live a hopeless, sorrowful, sad, miserable life. But because we have hope, we have hope in things present. We have hope that history will repeat itself. We have hope that the sun that rises, that rose yesterday, that rose today, this morning, tomorrow, I hope, I expect it will come again. And in life, we have hope. And now, as we think about eternity, as we think about the future, we have hope that Christ, what he had promised, we have faith in him, and that faith leads to the hope and the expectation that the promise you are giving will be fulfilled. And why do I have that kind of living hope? Why do I have that kind of living faith, abiding faith? Because of his love that cannot fail. His love cannot fail. And then it says, now abideth faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. The greatest of this is love. When eventually we leave this world and we have manifested faith in Christ, in what we could not see with our natural eyes, and we go to the great beyond, we leave faith behind because now we see everything. But we will not leave love behind because love still resides, abides in heaven. Jesus said, Father, manifest the love you had for me before the world began. Before the world, love. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, love. And when those angels were created, what made them to live there in heaven? Love. And when history is over, when the activities of the world are over, and we go to him in heaven, there will still be love. That's why it says faith for this world now and hope for this world now. When we get to heaven, We're not hoping anymore. We'll walk on those streets of gold. Now we're hoping. But when we get there, hope is forever gone. Because what we see, how can we hope for that again? But the love continues ever. It says, but the greatest of these is love. Also in our hearts, in our life, in our families, the greatest is love. In a relationship with God, the greatest is love. Maybe you know, were religious, I go to church, I read the Bible, but the greatest is love, God's love for me, and my love reciprocal, my love for God. Living lively hope by faith in his love. It tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3, it's just bringing all the three together, how all those three things will work and well coordinated in our lives. And Paul the apostle, writing to the believers in the Thessalonica, says, remembering without ceasing, number one, your work of faith. If the faith that works in us, walks through us, walks by us, and it walks about everything that we have in life, it works on our body, the faith that works. It works in our soul, the faith that works. It works in all the endeavors of life, because faith works. Faith works wonders. And I have faith tonight that this faith will work wonder in your life, will turn everything around for the better in your life tonight in Jesus' name. It says, I remember this without ceasing. I remember this always, every time, the work of faith. I could say the wonders of faith. I could say the manifestations of faith. I could say the demonstration of faith. And faith will be demonstrated in your life tonight. And then it says the labor of love. Love is not, something dormant. It's not an idea. It's not theory. Love is not something so hidden. You know, somebody says, I love you. I can't see it. I love you. I say I love you. It's not by what you say. It's what comes out in your action. The labor of love. The action of love. And when you relate that to God, God says, I love you. His word says, I love you. He says it from the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible. Why would God create man? Because of love. Why would he put him in the garden? Because of love. Why would he do everything is done for him, for man, for every individual? Because of love. But he didn't just say that or write that. He demonstrates that. And I come to tell you tonight, God loves you. And that's not cliche. And that's not just an idea. He demonstrates that. He'll demonstrate that in your life tonight. When he forgives your sin, that's the demonstration of love. When he heals your body, that's the demonstration of his love. When something harasses your life, when something turns your brain and is turning in the wrong direction, so that you're not living like you ought to live, like a normal, good, God-made man or woman, and something is going astray, deranged, and then it brings you back to where you ought to be. That is love. That love will be manifested tonight, because there is the action of love. There is the responsibility that he bears towards us. It is love. And there is the responsibility, the action we bear to other people. We act to other people in love. He says, this I remember. I remember your work of faith. I remember your labor of love. And I remember your patience of hope. Your patience of hope. If the farmer does not have the patience of hope, he plants something just this morning and he goes to check up and the thing has not germinated and the fruit has not come and nothing is coming up. If he did not have the patience of hook. He'll dig it up and go plant it in another place. But it's not what you plant. It's not where you plant it. It's the patience of hope. A world is impatient. They want instant coffee, instant tea, instant whatever. They put it in and they want it to come out just exactly like that, but have not found instant education. You still have to have the patience of hope and go to level one and level two and level three, because you hope at the end of the educational system, this is what you are going to have. But hope demands patience, and we need to be patient with God. The woman that gets pregnant needs to be patient. There's no instant delivery. Get pregnant today and deliver tomorrow. No, we need the patience of hope. When all that is working in our lives, number one, the wonders of faith, the work of faith. Number two, the labor, the action of love. And number three, the patience of hope. Things will straighten out in our lives. In your life. In my life. Faith, hope, and love will work out everything in our lives in Jesus' name. Why don't we briefly look at three things? Number one, I'm looking at faith and hope in the Lord. Faith and hope in the Lord. Number two, I'm looking at forgiveness and healing by the Lord. Forgiveness, I have faith in that. You have faith in that. That if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Forgiveness and healing in by the Lord. And number three is freedom. Freedom. Freedom for the humble by or before the Lord. Freedom for the humble. The humble doesn't mean the person that is always looking down anywhere he walks. He's so humble, he doesn't look at people. He cannot, you know, look at people face to face. That's not humility. To be humble simply means what God says about me, I accept. Does he call me a sinner? I can't argue. He knows it all. And in humility, I accept what he has said about me. Did he tell me I cannot save myself? I will not tell him, God, why can't I save myself? I'll give it a trial. I will try. No, when I'm humble, he said so. That I cannot save myself. He knows all the depths and the height and the length and the breadth of the salvation he's talking about. You might save yourself in your own definition of that salvation, but in the depths, in the height, in the breadth, the length of the salvation that God is talking about, you cannot save yourself. And when I accept that, that's an impossibility for me. That the humility the word of God is talking about. And then he says, your salvation, my salvation is only in Christ, the only begotten Son of God. When I'm humble, I say, yes, Lord. I'll not be searching here, searching there, searching everywhere. Maybe I could find salvation, another one. Don't you trust his wisdom? Don't you trust his knowledge? Don't you trust the truth he has given us, that there's no salvation in any other but by the name of Jesus and Jesus alone? And when I accept that with all my heart, without any shadow of doubt, and I go to him and I say, here I come. What I cannot do for myself, do it for me, that the humble. And he says the humble will have freedom before the Lord. Let's look at them one by one. Number one is the faith and hope in the Lord. The faith and the hope in the Lord. In Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Do you see that? The connection between the faith and the hope. You are hoping for forgiveness. Faith draws it near and grants that to you. You are hoping for salvation, the salvation of the Lord that is indispensable, that everyone that is born into this world, in the kingdom of the world, if he's going to get into the kingdom of his dear son, he must pass through that gate of salvation, being born again. You are born once, you die twice. Now the physical death, and the final death in eternity. Total final separation, eternal separation from God. Born once, you die twice. Born twice, there is the new birth. There is the second birth. And when you are born twice, you die only once. That is physical. Then you'll pass on to glory and you'll be with God in heaven. Give me a good amen. That's the reason I would call you at the end of the explanation, the exhortation, the word that I read to you. That's the reason I will call you and say, you've been born once. Now, the second birth is going to take place tonight. And when you are born once, twice, second time, if you die over here, you go to heaven immediately, because you cannot die and be separated from God everlastingly, eternally, once you are born the second time, second birth, you'll have it tonight in Jesus' name. But it says now, if we're going to relate with God, now, if we're going to have the salvation of the Lord, it's now. If we're going to have eternal life, it's now. Here on earth, now faith is. It's not what faith was. Oh, we could talk about how things used to be, the good old days. Faith was. We could talk about a person like Noah. His faith was manifested in this way. We could talk about the people of Israel, how they were slaves in bondage to the Egyptians, and their faith, and faith was for them. This is how it was. I can talk about a person like Joshua that faced the land of Canaan, and I can say faith was. But let's leave what it was, what he did, and let us talk about the now for you and the now for me, that faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's like, you've gone to the dealer, you want to have a car, and it's been paid for, and you have the title deed, you have the receipt in your hand. You have not brought it back home. And then your wife is asking, how about it? Oh, we have the car already. Where is it? And then you show that paper. I'm asking for the car. I'm not asking for paper. This is the substance of the things hoped for. When you have faith in God, even though people cannot see and you cannot see, but that faith is the title deed, and that faith is the receipt, is the substance of that thing you are hoping for. And tonight, as you believe the Lord, because I know you are going to believe the Lord who died for you. Give me a good amen. As we believe the Lord, that belief in him, that faith in him, is the substance, is the reality, is the ticket, is the title deed of that salvation, that forgiveness you are hoping for. We believe the Lord also that he who created the body is able to heal the body. And if any part of the body is sick, is damaged, is deranged, is diseased in any way, from the top of your head to the tip of your toe, we believe that that part of your body will receive a divine touch tonight, were hoping for that. The moment you believe in the now that it will happen, you have the title deed already. It's like when Jesus told those 10 lepers, they came and said, "Son of David, have mercy on us." And Jesus said, "Go show yourself to the priest." Now you couldn't go to show yourself to the priest except you were healed. But they had not even seen the healing. But he said, "Go show yourself to the priest." Understand, faith is a word of action. Believe is a word of action. And when they took that first step on their way to the priest, they believed. They already had the ticket. They already had the title deed. And they already had the substance of what they were hoping for. When they said, "Have mercy on us," they were hoping for healing. They're hoping for the cleansing of their leprosy. And when they took that same faith, is the substance of the things they were hoping for. And as they were going, having the substance already, now the real thing now came, that leprosy was taken away. And when you hear that word of God that can never fail, that will not fail, your sins are forgiven, you have the title deed already, that salvation will be there. And when you hear, "You are healed," that title deed is there already, you are healed in Jesus' name. I can imagine this woman that came to Jesus Christ from the Gentile part of their world and came to Jesus and said, "My daughter is seriously, grievously tormented of the devil. Have mercy on me." And Jesus said, "Go back home. Your daughter is delivered." The woman has not got back home. The woman has not seen that. But faith is the substance of things hoped for. And Jesus said, "Great is your faith," because she had said that even the dogs will eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And then she went, and when she got back home, what she had already held in his faith, she saw it there, and you'll see it tonight in Jesus' name. Do you remember the centurion that came and said, "My servant is grievously tormented of the devil," and Jesus said, "I will come and heal him." He said, "But you don't have to come. Why would you take all the trouble to come to my house? I'm not even worthy that you'll get to my house. Speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed." Isn't that faith? And Jesus said, "Be it unto you as you have believed." He had not got back home, but he had the faith, and the faith was the substance of the things hoped for. And as he went and got there, he saw exactly what Jesus had said had been fulfilled. Faith is what you hold on to, and then you will see the natural, the physical, the expected manifestation. Manifestation comes upon your life. Because now, at this is the time we believe. Okay, I'll believe tomorrow. No, that's not faith, that's hope. But faith is now, and it is the substance of the things hoped for. Then it says, it is the evidence of things not seen. It is the evidence of things not seen. As I look at, you know, my own, you know, personal life and body, the brain, I've not seen the brain, but I know the brain is there, because it is the evidence. When I think, when I walk, when I talk, when I'm logical, I have the evidence of the brain I did not see. I've not seen my bone structure. Yes, I can touch, I can hit, but I've not seen that. But when I stand and the bone structure is carrying me, I have the evidence of the things I do not see. I do not see all the blood that is flowing in my vein, but when I know that everything is all right, circulation is going on, and everything is normal, normal. I know I have the evidence. And faith is like that. The faith we have in God, the faith we have in Christ, and the faith we have in Calvary, that everything I will ever need for body, soul, and spirit has been provided at Calvary. That faith is the evidence of the things I have not seen. And it is faith that acts like the telescope that brings that thing you have not seen with your natural eyes, that will bring it so close you can almost grab it. And tonight, you'll grab it. The forgiveness available, you'll grab it. And the healing available, you will grab it. Because faith is the substance of the things you are hoping for. In Romans chapter 5, reading from verse 1, it says, therefore, being justified by faith, being justified by faith. The word justified, what does that mean? We've been sinners, we know that by experience, we know that. Our conscience tells us that, and we know that from the scripture. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But now we come to the court of the great judge of heaven, and we're condemned because we have sinned. Now we hear that Jesus Christ became the final sacrifice. Jesus Christ became our substitute. And we believe that it's borne your punishment, it's borne your guilt. The moment you believe that, that is faith, and now you are justified. You know what that means? He looks at you as just as if you had never sinned, justified. Your sins are blotted out. Your sins are taken away. Now you have a cleansed conscience, a cleansed heart, a forgiving heart. How does that happen? It says, therefore, be justified by faith. We have peace with God. Now, we have peace with God. We're not looking at him as judge anymore, that he's going to judge us either now or later in life, on the final day, because now he is our Father. We have moved from where we were as sinners, and now we become sons of God. Because as many as believed on him, he gave them the privilege and the power and the authority to become the sons of God, even to those that believed on his name. Because of that, there's no word of demarcation anymore between us and the thrice holy God, because now we have faith with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We make him a Savior, he's also our Lord. And when we make him a Savior, he takes away our sin. He changes our heart, he changes the personality. But not only that, we make him as Lord, because he is Lord. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and I accept that with my own faith, that he is not only my Savior, he is my Lord. And when that happens, he reconciles us with the Heavenly Father, and we have peace with God, and we are justified. Then it says in verse 2, he tells us, by whom also, that's talking about Christ, by him also we have access by faith into this grace. And it's all of grace, salvation, all of grace, provision, all of grace, Calvary, all of grace, and the sin he had done for us at Calvary, all of grace. And it says, wherein we stand. And then it says, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Hope of the glory of God. Because grace worked in my life, I'm now going through the path of godliness, and it is going to get to the glory of God. Think about those three things. Number one is grace. Number two is godliness. And number three is glory. Because I believe, because you believe, at a definite point in time, in the grace of God that brought you out of every everything you were and brings you into what Calvary has provided for you. It brings you by grace through godliness and to glory. And I believe, because the word of God says, you can now have the faith and the hope in the Lord, and things will never remain the same in your life, in Jesus' name. Hey, look at number two here. Number two, we're looking at forgiveness and healing in the Lord. It's so surprising. People do not understand that forgiveness and healing are joined together. And Jesus said, what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. What God has joined together, let no theologian, let no preacher, let no denomination put asunder. What does that mean? As we look at the word of God, it brings you forgiveness for the body, and it gives you forgiveness for your soul, for the sins you've committed in the past, and at the same time, it brings you healing for the body. He brought the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, and he made a covenant with them because their sins were not forgiven. He was not looking at them as sinners anymore. He was looking at them as his own sons, his peculiar son, his chosen son, his privileged son. Let my son go. And when he came out, it said there was not one feeble person among them. He gave them forgiveness. He gave them healing. And the psalmist tells us, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Now, David, tell me, what in particular are you blessing the Lord for? Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, and who healeth all thy diseases? Brought the two together, that he forgives, he also heals. And the Bible, the word of God says, that God says, I am God, I change not. He forgave them then, he'll forgive you now. He healed them then, he will heal you now. Because we have forgiveness and healing by the Lord. There was this man in Mark chapter 2. He was brought to the Lord Jesus Christ. He was so sick. He was so bedridden. He was so paralyzed. He was so lame. He couldn't help himself. There were four men. He was stretched on the stretcher, on a bed, a kind of bed at that time. And in the four corners, they picked him up. And they brought him to the place where Jesus was. But the problem was, they couldn't get to Jesus because there was a great crowd. There was no aisle by which they could walk straight to Jesus. And so they devised. And when you get to Jesus, all your problems are over. When you can get to him and say, that's the Lord, that's me, and then all the wall of partition, demarcation between you and Christ, the wall of unbelief broken down, and the wall of doubt broken down, and the wall of tradition broken down, and the wall of maybe history or whatever, and all the walls are broken down. Say, here is Jesus and here is me, and there is no walls separating us. Forgiveness will come to you. Healing will come to you. And so they went to the roof on top, and they, you know, took a tile up there and dropped the man in the, you know, in the presence of Christ. You know, they had faith in God. Number one, that man was, you know, so sick and he couldn't help himself. And when he said, we must get to, I can't go back home like this. I will not go back home like this. And they said, the only thing we can do, you know, is to go to the top of the building and then take a tile off and drop you there. But your condition now, you might be dead, so dizzy and dead before you get. He said, what do I care for that? I'm already dying. So if I die in my way getting to Jesus, I know. Just get me to him, alive or dead, I'll come alive. Just get to him, alive or dead, you will come alive in Jesus' name. Because Jesus is the truth and the way and the life. When you come to Christ, by whatever means you come to Christ, life will come into you in Jesus' name. And so they dropped the man in the presence of Jesus. And all those things they did demonstrated their faith in God. That's why now we have Mark chapter 2 verse 5. When Jesus saw their faith. Look at that. Faith acts in such a way we can see the faith. Now, you cannot see my breath as I breathe in and breathe out. If you watch the tummy will tell you, I am breathing. So, you see the breathing, even though you cannot see the air coming in and going out. It's by the action of the people that you saw their faith. If they could bring that man, that's one level of faith. And when they saw the crowd and they couldn't get in, and they devised the method, they'll get on the roof and drop the man. That's another level of faith. And Jesus saw their faith. And as you are there tonight and your thought is, I know that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What he did at that time, he will do for me. And Jesus can see your faith tonight. You feel guilty, you feel condemned, you've done this, you've done that, and Jesus said, neither do I condemn you, go and see no more. You accept that. He can see your thought processes, and he can see that you believe that his word will bring forgiveness and freedom in your life. He will see your faith tonight. And when you are at the point that science cannot help you, that medication cannot help you, that you've gone beyond the help of man, and now you put your trust and your confidence in God, he can see that faith, and that faith will work in your life tonight. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. He gave him forgiveness, and whatever Jesus said on earth was always confirmed in heaven. When Jesus said, your sins be forgiven thee, heaven chorused, amen. And we say, amen. His sins were all forgiven. What does that mean? All the sins he could remember from the time he knew left from right. Up until that time, all the sins he was conscious of, all the things that had become habitual, all the sins that had become his personal sin, they identified him with. You know, the Bible identifies people with their way of sinning. Like Zacchaeus, there was something identified with him. Like Matthew, there was something identified with him. All your sins, the sins you have been identified with, habitual, common, uncommon, special, daily, or maybe occasional, all your sins be forgiven thee. And when Jesus says that to one, he says that to all that will come to him, and tonight he's saying that to you. And if you accept that, your sins are forgiven. But remember, there is the connection between the forgiveness and the healing. That's why it goes on to say in verse 9. Verse 9 of that, Mark chapter 2, it says, which is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk. Which is easier? He's asking the question in relation to himself. If he's asking the question in relation to a man like yourself. And you know, it's easier to say, okay, I forgive you. But it's more difficult for a man like you and me to say, arise and walk. But for Jesus Christ, the Savior, Jesus Christ, the healer, both are equally easy with him. And the miracle of salvation you need in your heart, easy for him. The miracle and the declaration of forgiveness is easy for him. And the miracle of touching your body and raising your body and making your body perfectly whole is also easy for him. That's why I said, now what do you think, Pharisee? What do you think, Sadducee? What do you think, natural man, for you? Which one is easier? If you take anything at all, okay, I forgive you, that's easy for you. But for me, the Son of God, the Messiah, the Lord himself, and the healer of all our sicknesses, because by him and through him and with his stripes we are healed. With his stripes I am healed. Say it for yourself. With his stripes, say it aloud. With his stripes I am healed. The Lord confirmed that in your body in Jesus' name. Now, which is easier? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, which I said already, or to say, arise, take up thy bed and walk? And then he turned to them and look at verse 10. In verse 10, but that ye may know that the Son of Man has power, has authority, because the Father had sent him. And when he was sending from heaven, he said, go and release them from their bondage of sin. Go and release them from their bondage of sickness and demon possession. Because of that, he says, the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. Then he says to the sick of the palsy, look at verse 11. In verse 11, I say unto thee, I. What a Pharisee could not say, because he came with an authority greater than that of the religious leaders of the day. He said, I say unto thee. And what no other person can say to you is saying to you tonight. What other people have failed to do, he's going to do it in your life tonight, because he says, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. He didn't have to, you know, touch him, because the word is enough. In fact, he is the word personified. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Talking about Christ, and he says, by him all things were made, by the Word personified. And without him was nothing made that was made. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. And when he spoke that word, arise, take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. Look at verse 12. In verse 12 it says, and immediately he arose. The condition totally changed. The man they carried now can carry his own bed. The man they brought now can walk free. Where are the other four? Still looking for them. Please help me out of here. No, the help of heaven had replaced the help of men on earth here. And the help of heaven is coming to you right now. Because we're told he arose and took up his bed, and he went forth before them all, in so much that they, the people that saw him, they were amazed, they were surprised. And they glorify God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. When you see Jesus in a way you've never seen him before, you'll see what has happened to me, the peace I have in my heart now, the justification and the salvation, the redemption I have now, because I see him, because I hear him, and because I believed his word. I never saw it on this fashion. When you meet the healer, the one that takes away all your sicknesses, all your infirmity, when you see him that you never saw before, you see this man, he never saw Jesus Christ before, and the time he saw Jesus Christ, something he never saw before happened unto him. And when you see Jesus tonight in a greater way, in a brighter way, in a closer relationship, what you had never seen before, you'll see in Jesus' name. They said, we never saw it on this fashion. The point is, he gives us forgiveness, and he gives us healing, and he can do it right now. Not only that he can, he's willing to do it right now. Not only that he's willing, he's actually going to do it right now for everyone looking up to him, having faith of which is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Let's come to number three here before we wrap up everything. This is freedom for the humble before the Lord. The freedom from the things that bind us. You know, however sharp my brain is, if my hands are tied with chain and my legs are tied with chain and my tongue is hooked to my mouth, the brain is good, but what can I do with my hand chained, with my feet chained, padlocked? But when he frees my hand, then the brain can do what he ought to do through my hand. And when he removes the lock on my feet, my brain then can do what it ought to do. Many people are bound one way or the other. Brain, good, sight, good, knowledge, great, and everything about them. Well, you're right about the who and who in the world. They are part of the who and who because of that great brain, great knowledge. But it's bondage. And because of the bondage, they cannot be, and they cannot even attend what they ought to attend. What the Lord has brought you here for tonight is to set you free. 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 Completely free in Jesus' name. But it's for the humble. The people that realize, yes, I have that, but I need freedom to make that work efficiently in my life. And the only one that can give me the freedom is the Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior. Look at the manifestation of that humility in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If my people who are called by my name. You know, sometimes when you're feeling form, they say, are you a Christian or a Hindu or another religion? And then you put Christian there. You're called by his name. But don't let that elevate your mind as if nothing else. Everybody knows I'm a Christian. I was born a Christian. We'll talk about that maybe another time. But the point is, they're called by my name. If they shall humble themselves, if they will not be like the children of Israel, what have you seen? Were the children of Abraham. What was circumcised the eighth day? The God of Abraham is our God. If we drop all that, if we drop the religious pride that we have, it says, if they shall humble themselves and pray. Proud people don't pray. Why would I pray? I have all the money I need. I live in a good house. I drive a good car. I have good education. I have good sustaining job. Why would I pray? It takes us humility to know that what education has not done. There's a God in heaven. There is Jesus Christ. His name is Emmanuel. Emmanuel will do for us what education can never do for us. Give me a good, good amen. And that's why it says, if they shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. When you connect all the dots, it says, they are my people and they are called by my name. They are religious, traditionally religious, but they still have the same sin and the same lifestyle as the people that do not even darken the church doors with their shadow. But it says now, if they will turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. Here is our chance that God will hear our prayer. He will hear from heaven. We pray here on earth, and immediately it's heard in heaven. I used to wonder about that until this cell phone now came. And with the cell phone, I can be here, and then I can send an SOS message to somebody in America, or somebody in Singapore, or somebody in South Korea, and they will hear at the time I'm talking here now. And I say, if the technology of man can do that and transport my voice, even my thoughts, and transport it over there to Singapore, South Korea, when we pray here, the system of God is better than the system of man. He hears immediately in heaven. Amen. I even discover now that not only when I talk, even the AI can, preempt my thinking. I'm trying to type something, and I type this and type that, and the AI will bring out the next word. And if I could talk to AI, how did you know that was the word I was looking for? Well, AI says, yes, I know. And if AI can read your thoughts and bring the word out that you're looking for, heaven is greater than AI. And your thoughts, your word, the moment you desire it here, it's registered in heaven. He will answer your prayer. And then he says, they turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin. I will forgive their sin. I will. When God says, I will, who gives me the liberty to doubt? When God, the creator of the heavens and earth, when God, the one that never lied, when God, the perfection of truth and faithfulness, when he says, I will forgive their sin, there's no doubt in my heart, he will forgive your sin and will heal their land. He will heal not only you, he will heal your family. Not only your family, he will heal your community. Not only your community, he has the power to heal our nation. I will heal their land. He sets us free, completely free from everything that incapacitates us, and he heals us from every bondage in life. That's why Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 32. John chapter 8, verse 32, and ye shall know the truth. And ye shall know the truth. Yes, Lord, thank you. I know the truth. And then he asked me, says, William, what truth do you know? I say, I know as a mathematician that 3 plus 10 make 13. I say, God, isn't that true? He said, yes, that's true. 3 plus 10 make 13. But that's not the truth I'm talking about. There are many people that know the mathematical truth, the scientific truth, the biological truth, and the political truth. and that does not set free, but the one that says, I am the truth. And when I know that truth and everything embodied in that truth, in Christ my Lord, ye shall know the truth. That's the Savior. You know him as Savior. You know him as healer. You know him as deliverer. And the truth shall make you free. Tonight, you're free. Amen. Know him as your Savior. You're free from sin. Know him as your healer. You're free from sickness. Know him as your deliverer, your redeemer. And you're free from all the yokes and the bondage of the devil. He tells us in verse 36, he said, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free. Not only free, ye shall be free indeed, visibly, physically, completely, practically. Ye shall be free indeed. When you come, before you come to the Lord, you are here and Christ is here. And Christ says, I'm waiting for you, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Because if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. And you believe that, and you take a step of faith, and now you come to him. And because you come to him and you say you believe him, there's something that changes there. That what if, because before you come, it's an if. But when you come, he says, since the Son therefore has made you free, you are free indeed. Free from guilt, free from condemnation, free from sin, free from sickness, free from bondage, free from anything and everything that is beyond your control. That's beyond my control. I'm just a man. That's beyond my authority. I'm just human. That's beyond my possibility, because I am just a human of yesterday, living today. And he says, what you cannot do, he will do for you, because the Son, our sacrifice, the Son, our substitute, the Son, our Savior, now comes to make you free. 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 Where's the person I'm talking about? Free. He'll make you free in Jesus' name. If you come, if the Son shall make you free, and then you take the step of faith, I love him. He's paid the whole price. And because of that, I come. Now it sees you have come. And the Son now makes you free. From tonight, you're free from the bondage and the guilt of the past. Heads bowed and eyes closed. It's not what we hear, it's what we do with what we hear that sets us free. It's not my visiting the doctor that gets me healed. It's my getting everything he prescribes and using it that gets me free from that ailment. Now is the time we act on what we've heard. He wants to remove your guilt, your condemnation. He wants to remove the judgment that is hanging on you because of the life you have lived. Maybe you are helpless. You just couldn't help yourself. But Christ will now help you. And as you believe everything you have heard about Jesus tonight and say, Lord, I come. I want forgiveness. I want your salvation. I want your freedom. I want your justification by the faith I have in you. Now is your chance, your privilege to come. Heads bowed and eyes closed. You raise up your hand. You say, Lord, that's what I want. Set me free. That's what I want. Forgive my sin. That's what I want. Grant me the salvation you purchased for me on the cross of Calvary. Raise up your hand wherever you are. God bless you there. God bless you there. As you are raising up your hand, please show us, stand up. Stand up. Stand up for Jesus. Let him know that you are there. You kind of distinguish yourself from the crowd and say, Lord, I come. Your hand raised up. You are not coming to me. You are coming to Christ, your Savior. Rise up right there and say, Lord, I come. I come because I believe that you died for me. I come because I believe that all my sins will be forgiven. I come because I believe you are my Savior. And I make you my Lord right now. Raising up your hand, please stand up. God bless you there. God bless you there. Now, as you are standing up, just tell the Lord, Lord, I believe you died for me. Lord, I believe you paid the whole price of my sin. Lord, I believe you've taken my condemnation, my guilt upon yourself. Tell the Lord, and that moment you believe, it becomes your Savior, becomes your Lord. I pray with you now, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I pray that you do what you have sent Jesus Christ to do. Forgive their sins in Jesus' name. Not because of how they feel, and not because of what they're trying to do to make up for what they want to receive, but because what Christ has done to be their Savior and their Lord. Grant them that provision, propitiation from Calvary now. Forgive them in Jesus' name. And let the Holy Spirit bear witness in their heart. They are now children of God. And since Christ sets them free, make the freedom from sin, from guilt, from condemnation, make it real in their hearts right now. Thank you, Lord, because we know you have answered. In Jesus' name we pray. And the people of God said a good, good amen. Amen. Thank you very much. Keep on standing. We're calling on Deeper Life National Overseer, Pastor Adela, to please come lead us through this. And then after this, I'll come back to pray for those who need healing in their body.
Amen. It is a decision of faith that we are taking when we step forward to Jesus. So if you have taken that decision, you will have seen the people in uniform, the GCK, ushers or volunteers. They have been trained on what to do to be able to help you after now. Decisions are very important. Jesus himself ministered to Saul of Tarsus, and he commanded him. He said he should go into Damascus, and he's going to be told him all the things that he needs to know. And we know what became of that Saul of Tarsus. It was an instrument. So, it's to be able to help you, to be able to follow up after now. There are several materials that Pastor William Kumuyi has produced that is used to disciple and to help people in different denominations, different churches where they belong to, that step by step, how to live the life of faith in Christ and how to live the Christian life. And so we have those materials. That's why your information, the phone numbers, and the address or email address in particular are needed. So we'll send those materials to you, and by the grace of God, online there will be people reaching out to you, and there will be people reaching out to you in the nearest location where you are. So help us to fill that form as much as possible. And I believe that the Lord, who has done this great work in bringing you out to identify with Him openly, that same God will keep you in Jesus' name. Here, for some of us who have been given that form, we have the QR code on that form. If you scan it in, you know, like a minute, you're going to be able to all the information, and it's going to go into an encrypted database or the information will be used, and we'll be able to help you further. We will send all the materials. We have them in series that he has produced. The author is Pastor William Kumuyi. What has helped him over these 60 years working with the Lord, step by step, he has written them down for us. So we send them to you one after the other, and we are going to guide you. There will be people in the nearest church, you know, to you, that will be able to help you online, that will be able to help you. And so we believe that the Lord God of heaven will keep every one of us in Jesus' name. Now, I believe that process is going on at the moment. And if you did not raise your hand or you didn't stand up, but you prayed that prayer, you knew it, that something touched you tonight. You knew it, that Jesus had touched you tonight. The difference is clear. After this prayer, you need to know how to grow, how to keep the experience. And that's why we're taking this extra minute to get this and do it rightly. Remember that Saul will never forget Barnabas. He will never forget the work that man did in his life. Even when he was gone back to Tarsus, Barnabas went to find him. And this is the essence. That is the essence. Remember, when you come to Christ, you are leaving the world. You are turning your back to the world. Turning your back to Satan. Satan will run after you. And so you need to know and you need to be guided. And I pray as we complete this process, the Lord will help us more in Jesus' name. Now we are going to have this time to call on the pastor, the evangelist, the prophet, and the great man of God that God has been using to touch life. Before I bring him up, I see there's just 1 minute on that side. Before he comes up, I will tell you this. The prayers for miracle may not be long. It's not going to be probably more than a minute or two. But remember what I said when I introduced him. Can anybody remind me? Can I hear it on this side? Whatsoever he says unto you, do it. And I give you this quick story. The former prime minister in Nigeria, you call them president. One time, our father was having a crusade in a location where that man lived. And so he didn't come to the crusade, but afterwards, he just had information and he came to see him. Why did he come to see him? He's got an uncle, either an uncle and auntie, that was in the hospital. The doctors have written him up. In fact, they have bought a coffin to bury him. And so he said, anyway, let's try. He came with his wife. And he told the pastor the long story, how the man had, you know, sick and all that. And after all the story, our pastor said, in his characteristic manner, let us pray. You will hear that tonight, and something good will happen to you. And the prayer was, Father, in the name of Jesus, that man in the hospital that the doctors have said should die, I cancel death over him in Jesus' name. Amen. And he said, it is done. He said, they should go. Here is the testimony. The this former president, he gave the testimony himself. When our headquarter church was open, he still gave it again. When they left the house, the wife asked him, why did that man pray that short prayer? We told him a man is dying. The doctors have written him off. He just prayed that prayer. But by the time the following day, they went to the hospital. The man that is bedridden, he was at the reception. And they met him. It was like, did we meet a ghost? He said, no, last night, strength just came. And I could get up. And I think today, that man is still alive. Did you hear what I said? The prayer is not going to be long. It's a minute prayer, but the miracle will follow you. Can we rise up and welcome our father and our pastor to the pulpit?
Praise the Lord. Whatever problem you have, identify that problem, whatever. Whatever the name, whatever, however long it's been there. And you raise up one hand to the Lord and you lay the other hand where you have the challenge. Well, pray, and Jesus is still in the ministry of healing and delivering his people. He will heal you. So raise up your hand, lay your hand where you have the challenge, and your healing, deliverance, miracle will follow. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, we adore you, we worship you. You're still the same as you have ever been. Lord Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever. We're asking for your people that your healing virtue will pass through their body. Heal them now in Jesus' name. I pray, Lord, whatever the name of the sickness and whatever place that sickness, infirmity is in their body, confirm your word of miracle right now in Jesus' name. Heal everyone. Deliver the oppressed and give them the miracle they are asking for in Jesus' name. Make it manifest, make it visible, make it known in every one of them. We thank you, Lord, because the healing has been done. Miracle has been given. And we pray, Lord, there'll be a mighty difference right now. Confirm your power in their lives. It is done. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Amen.